Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
What up, Raider fans? Welcome to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for all Raiders news and analysis. I'm Vinny Bonsignor. I'm the Raiders beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and we're going to be here with you every single Monday from here on out. And knock on wood, we've got football season right upon us. Training camp is starting tomorrow, July 28th. Can you wrap your head around that after everything we've been through the last 6 months? We're actually right at the doorstep of a football season. Let's hope and keep our fingers crossed that that lasts and is uninterrupted, and we get a full 16 games and playoffs and Super Bowl in there this year. And again, we're going to be here every Monday to talk about it all, and we do have a lot to talk about today. A big weekend for the Raiders. We're going to talk all about it, and a huge week coming up for them as well. But before we get to all of that, just got to say that we are presented by Favor Shot and Deal Dash.
You say, hey, Gru, what do I got?
Well, it was a busy weekend for the Raiders, specifically on Saturday, and it capped a pretty big and important week for them. I'm sure you saw it, but they wrapped up their rookie draft class, their seven-man rookie draft class, in a dizzying 2 hours across Saturday, and got really busy for people like myself who cover this sort of thing. But they were able to get all their rookies signed, and it's important for a couple of reasons. Number one, let's face it, folks, there has been no offseason to speak of. COVID-19 completely wreaked havoc on NFL offseasons this year. And for the rookies, to say that they're behind the curveball a little bit on the development process would be an understatement. And it's not exclusive to the Raiders. This is across the board in the NFL. When you think about the fact that there's been no rookie minicamp, there's been no veteran minicamp, there hasn't been one day where rookies have stepped on a football field for any kind of conditioning, supervised conditioning at an NFL facility. There's been no OTA practices where they could take what they learned from the classroom onto the football field. There's been none of that. And to say that that's taken a big chunk out of their development is really, it's an understatement. It's been a huge detriment to these rookies. And had they squabbled over money or contract that bleeded into training camp, which starts on July 28th, had they lost one more second of development by squabbling over money, it would have been catastrophic. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have gotten over it through the course of the season, but it really would have been a step back for them. So just getting the players in the building officially in time for training camp is a really big thing, given what we're going through right now. But it's also big for another reason. And, like it or not, and obviously, unfortunately so, as this year plays out, we're going to be spending just as much time, unfortunately, on COVID-19 and focusing on COVID-19 as we really are football. And I say that because teams' ability to manage COVID-19 right now, and what we're talking about is making sure their players are healthy and safe and not testing positive for COVID-19, because that obviously gets into availability, whether they can play, whether they can practice, whether they're going back into quarantine. All of that needs to be managed in the best possible way by teams because they want to put themselves, obviously, in the best position possible to win football games on Sundays. And you do that by having a healthy roster. So managing COVID-19 is going to be huge this year. And the teams that can do it are going to be better off for it, obviously. And you can't take for granted the fact that the Raiders got through the initial rookie screening process unscathed. All their rookies were able to go through the 72-hour screening process. And what does that mean? Every player in the NFL, before they can step foot in the building, in team facilities, has to get at least has to get two negative COVID-19 tests over a 72-hour period before they could step foot in the team facility. For Raiders rookies, that started on Tuesday with test one. They came back on Friday for test two. By Friday night, the Raiders got word that all of their players had tested negatively. Thank goodness for them, for their health, and obviously for everything else that's going on in football for them. And that meant that by Saturday, they were able to come into the building officially, get their physicals, their standard football physicals, which all of them obviously passed. And they all celebrated by signing their contract. So it's really important because, again, availability is so important in football. And being able to have a control, have take care of and manage COVID-19 is going to be huge. And there are, no one's out of the woods yet because starting next week, sometime next week or this week, I should say, players then begin getting tested every single day for COVID-19, rookies, veterans, everybody, for 2 weeks, two straight weeks. Players are going to be tested on a daily basis for COVID-19. And after that two-week period, the NFL is going to look at the numbers, and if they have, if the positivity rate is below 5%, then players can start going on to a program where they get tested every other day. If it's above 5%, they have to remain on the everyday process. So not out of the woods yet, but for the Raiders rookies to get through that first phase, healthy, safe, and sound is a big thing. I got to tell you that, you know, in talking to Raiders people, they're beyond excited about this seven-man draft class. And specifically now, finally, thankfully, to be able to get to work with these guys in person. You think about this for a second. Raider rookies, along with all the other NFL rookies, they haven't practiced in an organized way with an actual football team since their last practice of their college career. And for some guys, that means November. If you made a bowl game, maybe December. If you were in one of the big bowl games, maybe January. But it's been a long time since any of these guys have been in a supervised football atmosphere with their team. That's going to change on Tuesday. And you start looking at guys like Henry Ruggs, because when you look at the Raiders, it's a young team that's going to need some guys to really step up early. And we obviously know that Henry Ruggs, the 12th pick overall, the speed and explosiveness that he brings to the tables, that he brings to the table, is a dynamic that the Raiders have not had. It's a game-changing element that not just for himself, but how he affects the Raiders offense in a whole. All of a sudden, more room for Josh Jacobs to run, more room for Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, Terrell Williams, more options for Derek Carr. So they need Henry Ruggs to get on the football field really early, and I suspect that that's going to happen. But then you start thinking about rookies like Alen Bowden Jr. and the unique skill set that he brings to the table. This is a guy that played quarterback his last six or seven games last year of at Kentucky, and did it pretty well. He wasn't, you can't judge him as a quarterback because he isn't a quarterback, but his ability now to add something to the run game, to the pass game, and actually throw the ball from time to time is an asset that I know John Gruden has been spending the last 5 months cooking up ways to utilize him. And I would think that Lynn Bowden Jr. Has a chance to get on the field in some packages. And specifically maybe even in the red zone, where all of a sudden the threat he brings with everything that he's able to do, teams have to account for that, just like they have to account for Henry Ruggs. And we all know that the Raiders bogged down in the red zone last year. They did a really good job accumulating yards. They just couldn't translate those yards to actual points, which is why they averaged 19 points a game. That's unacceptable. It will not get it done. They need to improve on that. And we all know that where it really bogged down for them was in the red zone. But now all of a sudden you add Ruggs to the equation. Lynn Bowden Jr., I'll throw another name at you. Brian Edwards, the rookie wide receiver from South Carolina, who's a big-bodied, aggressive, can-go-get-it type of wide receiver. I can imagine and see him being an asset in the red zone as well. So all of a sudden, when they do get into that area of the football field, John Gruden now has way more options, a lot more more skill set to work with, more options, more ability to dig deeper into his playbook. And I think that as a result, the Raiders are going to be better in the red zone when you add those three players to what they already have. And I think you're going to start seeing that translate to more points, which obviously the Raiders need to do. And just getting those guys in the building right now in time is hugely important. Hey, everybody. Vinny Bonsignore from Vegas Nation First and 10. Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. 1 cent? That's crazy. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code VegasNation or DealDash.fm Vegas Nation. That's DealDash.fm Vegas Nation.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
I'll be happy to answer any questions that you can.
Welcome back to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for all Raider news and analysis. I'm Vinny Bonsignore. I'm the beat writer for the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review Journal. We're going to do something a little bit different today. By the way, thank you to everybody that's been listening. Really, really excited. The numbers are through the roof. We're all excited here at the Las Vegas Review Journal. It's going to get even better as the season goes on, and we're beyond excited to be here with you guys. And we're doing a little something different in the second segment today. I put the call out on Twitter for fans to submit some questions. Want to get to any of your concerns and questions and anything under the sun that you have for us. And I got to say, the call to arms really worked. You guys really responded pretty well. And so we're going to get to some of those questions. I'm bringing on my great producer, Larry Muir, and he is going to hit me up with the questions. I'm doing this. This is right off the top of my head. So we're going to get after it, and it's going to be fun.
All right. Thank you, Vinny, for that intro.
Absolutely.
All right. The first question comes from at Jordan652574070 and at Rough Draft Mike. Vinny, appreciate your content. Just curious. Do you see Lynn Bowden being an emergency QB as well as a running back?
Well, and we talked about Lynn Bowden Jr. in the first segment. I could definitely see that. I think about my Rams coverage days, and Johnny Hecker, the punter, was their emergency quarterback. That's why the Rams were able to keep only two quarterbacks on the roster typically, and active during the games, because they knew they had Johnny Hecker. He played quarterback in high school. If need be, he can play. But now you bring in Lynn Bowden Jr. Does it mean that the Raiders are only going to keep two quarterbacks, Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota? I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And that would mean, unfortunately, Nate Peterman not making the team. But yes, Lynn Bowden Jr., I think you're going to see Lynn Bowden Jr. play a little bit of quarterback regardless, whether it's an emergency situation or just schematically in a package, because I could see him playing that sort of a role where all of a sudden, you put him behind center, maybe in the red zone, in a shotgun where he can hurt you with his feet, with his arm, and all of a sudden the defense has something more to think about. So yes, I could see him being an emergency quarterback. More importantly, I could see him playing some quarterback in certain situations.
All right, the second part of that question was also, could you see him having a small role in direct snaps in the red zone?
Yes, I absolutely can. I think we just touched upon that. I think that you're going to see him play a role. And I think, again, the Raiders have been bad in the red zone. I think anytime you can diversify your offense and create confusion and shift focus defensively, and if that's a way that You know, he could be an asset, then absolutely. And think about this. When he was at Kentucky, this guy was a runner and a pass catcher. They were horrible getting him the ball. That's why they ended up the first four or five games of last year. And they said, look, let's just snap the damn thing to him directly and let him do what he has to do, because we can't get it to him any other way. And he was fabulous from that point on. And Kentucky won a bunch of games. I think they even won a bowl game with him as quarterback. So, yes, I could definitely see him playing a little bit of QB.
All right, next questions come from D-Man 707-702 and at Rough Draft Mike. The question is, do you know what date is the drop-dead date for players to opt out of this season?
That would be August 3rd, and there's two tiers to this. And what they're asking is, because of COVID-19, if players just don't want to play this year for whatever reason, are they allowed to opt out? And when do they have to make that decision? The drop dead deadline is August 3rd. And the two tiers is this: if it's for medical reasons, if they have an underlying type of an ailment or family member that they're worried about, they'll still get $350,000 pay this year. And if it's for just voluntary, like I just don't want any part of this, given everything that's going on, they'll be paid $150,000 of their contract.
All right. Next question comes from at East Bay _ Raider. What can we expect from Arden Key this year?
Well, first and foremost, he needs to stay healthy. You know, this was a high draft pick a couple of years ago. The Raiders had high hopes for him. It's not translated onto the football field. Injuries have been a big part of that. But I got to say that, you know, he's got a chance to get squeezed out here. The Raiders signed Carl Nassib, pass rusher from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's, you know, penciled in. That guy's going to get on the field. So Arden Key has his work cut out for him, getting on the football field and producing. And I think that if he needed any motivation, he certainly got it. The Raiders have invested pretty heavily at the defensive line, so he needs to step up. Whether he accepts that challenge, we're going to find out.
All right. Next question comes from at Low Brass Dude 93. Which undrafted free agent plays the biggest role on the Raiders this season?
Well, I'm going to go with two guys. Utah State kicker Dominic Eberle and UNLV linebacker Jevin White. I think that where the Raiders are at linebacker, I could see White sneaking onto the roster, maybe as a special teams player, but with some high-end you know, potential at linebacker. And as far as Eberle, the guy's got a rocket leg. He was a record-setting kicker at Utah State, and we all know that Daniel Carlson struggled last year for the Raiders. The Raiders cannot afford that to happen again this year. I think they're going to give Eberle a long look in training camp, whether it's just to push Carlson to be the best that he could possibly be, or maybe even win the job. But I wouldn't be shocked, A, if Eberle either made at least the practice roster, where, you know, there's an expanded practice roster. Maybe they give Carlson every chance to show, you know, that he's recovered from whatever, you know, affected him last year. But you have Eberle waiting in the wings just in case.
All right, the next one, this is not a really cool at, but at COVID-19-02020 wants to know, playoffs or no playoffs?
Well, I'm going to say the Raiders are going to make a serious run for a playoff spot. There is an extra team that's allowed in the playoffs this year, expanded playoff format by the NFL. Yes, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to shock everybody and make the playoffs.
All right, next one. There's two ats here. It comes from at Pitt73 and at Shawnee_Vegas. With the cap going down and teams needing to make tough decisions / cuts, do you think we have any buyer's remorse with a Nassib contract?
Good question. And I think there's a little bit of confusion on the salary cap. It's not going down this year. Everything's okay for this year. So nothing's being affected as far as that goes. Now, next year, it's already set at, I think, $175 million, which is actually, I believe, an increase from this year. But that's the floor for next year. It could, you know, that's less than what they were hoping for, obviously. But so it could affect things moving forward. It will affect things moving forward. But I don't think Nassib is in any trouble, and I don't think there's any buyer's remorse there. And there is no effect on this year's salary cap. That all got squared away.
Okay. All right. Next question comes from at DePetra Joey. Realistic expectations of the Raiders' record this season, assuming it's a full season, ceiling, floor, and middle.
I have them at 9-7, possibly 10-6. It's going to be a struggle early on. It's a tough schedule early on. And I think while their offense is going to be hitting the ground running, right from the get-go. I think defensively, with six new starters and a bunch of young players, second-year players, rookies, it's going to be take a little bit of time for the defense to get it together. But I think that that's going to happen as the year goes on, and they'll get it together. It might cost them a little bit early. But I think 9-7, 10-6 is a pretty realistic get for this team. In fact, I'd be disappointed if they didn't get to that point.
I felt better right now. I'd give you some more material. I don't have much. I'm kind of numb.
All right, so my guy Ed Graney from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, the great Ed Graney, columnist for the Review-Journal, had a really good column this week. He always writes great columns, but in particular, Raiders related this week. He wrote about the Raiders defense and specifically the additions and the investments that the Raiders have made to improve the Raiders defense and how it applies to defensive coordinator Paul Gunther, who finally, it seems, has some real horses to work with and some real talent to work with. Listen, I know, based on how the Raiders have performed these last couple of years, Paul has been a target for criticism and sometimes rightfully so. But the fact is, his unit hasn't performed well. That's obvious to anyone that understands football. And he's a leader of that side of the football team. So the buck stops at his desk, yada, 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 yada. Here's the thing, though. I know we live in the world of no excuses. And, you draw that hard line and that's it. There's no excuses. But when we think about things along those terms, we sometimes forget that taking an honest look at things, which leads to reasonable explanations, is not excuse making. It's just the reality of the situation. And the reality of the situation is, Paul Gunther and the Raiders have not had a lot of talent to work with defensively. Part of being a good coach and a good general manager is being able to take a look at yourself at any given time and be honest about it, and not just, paint a rosier picture than it really is, and just be straight up and honest. I think John Gruden, when he got here a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, took a look at the roster and was like, this is a bad roster. And I say that because he made a couple of big trades, one of which was by trading their best defensive player, Khalil Mack. And when he looked at the roster, he was like, why am I going to pay one defensive player $21 million for the next, 5-6 years, given all the holes that I have on this roster? It doesn't make any sense. Let's trade Khalil Mack, which obviously made the defense even worse. The defense wasn't good anyway, but it made it even worse. But why not trade Khalil Mack in a move that had long-range implications but caused short-term pain? It made sense to trade him to get draft picks and to create salary cap flexibility, to then use that money and those draft picks to fix the entire roster rather than it all going to one player on a bad defense. And that's what the Raiders did. And as a result, inevitably, it reflected in the performance, which wasn't very good. The Raiders had no talent defensively, and or not a lot of talent defensively. They had to strip it down and build it back up, and that's going to always take time, especially when the other side of the ball wasn't all that good either, and they had to invest a bunch of money in draft picks and free agency into fixing the offense. So you had both sides of the ball needing to be fixed, and that doesn't happen overnight. And that's just the reality of the situation. Well, 3 years later, and you can honestly say the Raiders have restocked both offensively and defensively. You think about it for a second. Out of last year's draft class, the Raiders added Max Crosby, Cleveland Farrell, Jonathan Abram, Trayvon Mullen. You want to throw Isaiah Johnson in there, a fourth rounder who was hurt all last year, but there's a lot of hope for him at cornerback. Then in free agency last March, they added Carl Nassib, who we talked about, Malik Collins, a defensive tackle, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, two big-time linebackers, Prince Amukamara at cornerback, Demarius Randall and Jeff Heath at safety. All of a sudden, that defense is starting to look a whole lot better. And then this year, they draft Damon Arnett, Tanner Muse, and Amik Robinson. Folks, that's the foundation of the defense now. And when I look at that foundation, I see proven talent, youth, high-end upside, and flexibility. And I say that to say this, say all that to say this. We couldn't really judge Paul Gunther the last couple of years because the Raiders were just terrible defensively. But they've made a lot of investment. They've improved the roster. They've added, like I said, real proven talent and high upside potential. Now is when we can start, you know, figuring out what the Raiders have defensively. Is Paul Gunther the right guy for that job? I think it's realistic now and fair now to be able to start judging him. And I think you're going to see that he didn't forget how to coach football, and he can coach football. He just didn't have the horses the last couple of years. He's starting to get those horses now. It's going to take some time, especially with COVID-19 wreaking havoc the way it did on the offseason. There's a lot of young players, a lot of new players to get it together on that defense. But I think sooner rather than later, you're going to see this defense make massive improvements. And I think you're going to start looking differently at Paul Gunther as a result. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Vegas Nation First and 10. Thank you so much for the questions. Keep them coming. We're going to do this on a weekly basis. We're going to take all your questions. As always, I'll be back with another episode of Vegas Nation First and 10 next Monday. We're going to have football to actually talk about. In the meantime, the rest of the Vegas Nation team has got you covered with episodes and podcasts throughout the week. Be sure to tune in and show them some love. They do some really, really good work. All of my teammates here at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you next Monday.